feels kinda like a video game. I found a hack, cheat code, game attack, new name, but don't find me. It's blurry and it all seems fast. Throwback and thrifty on a new dream.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to a second week in a row of Off the Record.
Crazy.
God, we breaking records.
How?
My lord. The staff is back, minus our fearless leader. Amisho Baraka is not in the building tonight. He was on his way to the studio and was diverted due to car issues. So
the devil was busy.
He didn't want him in the building. Apparently, we're just going to say some ridiculous things tonight that would have hurt him in the process. Well, what's going on, y'all? This is your first time tuning in to Off the Record. What this is the fourth staff in an environment where we have honest conversations, probably that will upset you at times and cause you to hit us up on Twitter at times. But regardless, we're going to make you think in the process, and we're going to make each other think in the process. So my name is Dan Duncan. You can find me on Twitter for all the things that I piss you off about at Dan Dunk. And yeah, hit me up. I'd love to engage with you. Honestly, would love to engage with you. To my left is our Fort District A&R co-founder, everything awesome, Adam Bean. What's up, sir?
Hey, man. What's going on?
How are you, man?
I'm good, man. Busy.
You're fresh off the road.
Fresh off of the road. Yes, I've been traveling a bit, but good. Good travels, good stuff. So, yeah, I am here. Hit me up if I happen to piss you off about anything. ADANBEAN on Twitter. So, yes.
I love that. That's our stance.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm about to say, I think people like me.
And that voice that you hear is the most likable staff member of Fort District, David Perdue.
I'm here.
Our in-house comedian.
Yep. In-house and out the house. And in the field.
What's up, man?
I'm good. How you doing, man? Everybody good?
I'm good.
Great, I just wanted to shout out Adon's Instagram pictures. I like all them joints. It looks so epic. Everyone, I'm like, who's taking these pictures for you?
Man.
All
hey,
my
man.
Stage pictures, I got like, I look weird and stuff. Yours look like the shadowing is perfect. I was like, who is on his team?
Hey, man.
I need to get them on my team because I'd be looking weird on stage.
I need to get I need to expand my team to get more of those pictures. Yeah, man.
Those are the pictures you like store up. You're like, I'm going to post this one now.
Yeah.
And another one of these in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, man.
To keep my Instagram stream.
Yeah, like you look focused. I always look like I'm not paying attention to what I'm doing.
But it works, man, because you know, comedians, it's just some, it's always genius, but it's just, you don't, you know, there's seemingly no rhyme and reason. Like we, you know, as artists, we look like we working hard out here. Comedians, y'all make it look effortlessly, but y'all working hard.
I am working hard.
Yeah, man.
But I want it to look like it too. I want to be respected. Nobody respects a comedian's picture, but those pictures, I'll be sitting on my Instagram like, dang, got another one. He got another one.
Another one.
And
another
right.
one. Congratulations.
Yeah.
You played yourself.
Yeah. Well, speaking of shout outs, we cannot begin this episode and catch up without speaking of Adon.
Shout out.
Hey.
You, sir, were featured on an album that dropped this past Friday.
I did, yeah. It wasn't my album, which
we're waiting for that.
I should probably be working on as opposed to other people's things. But yeah, man, it was good, man. I was on 2 Chainz record that just came out, featuring, actually it's a joint record with 2 Chainz and Lil Wayne, so Kala Grove. So yeah, it had a little small little part there that still paid me, so
hey.
I'm good with that.
Hey,
you know,
hey, the put check, some food on the table.
Right. Yeah, man, the check says Def Jam, so I'm good with that. I'm good with that.
Nice,
man. That's super dope. Like, yeah. So I mean, how does an artist like you end up on 2 Chainz? Because I'd say you guys run in two different lanes.
You do, but I say this about Atlanta all the time, man. Atlanta's big, but it's super small. And if you do anything with any, I would say with any semblance of quality, but it doesn't even have to be quality sometimes. If you just do anything long enough, you end up crossing paths, you know, wherever you go. Like, it just ends up happening. And so yeah, man, I'm going about a normal Monday, and I get a call from my boy who's just like, hey, this is a really strange request, but 2 Chainz heard your voice and he needs you on a record today. I'm like, oh, okay. You know what I mean? Like, all right.
What time?
Yeah, is today, like today, like right now or like later on? And he's like, you know, it could work later on. So, yeah, so we end up, and it ends up that 2 Chainz heard some work that I did with another company. And 2 Chainz, he was in a situation where it's kind of some samples and things couldn't get cleared and needed my voice to come in and, you know, I had to rewrite some stuff and do some work. And so there's always X amount of work that you do and then X amount of work that gets shown of what you do. So, you know what I mean? So there, I did more than what made it, but it was all a real cool, good experience, good people over there. What is really sad though, is that, so I was on the road, for the last few days. And so anyway, let me finish that part of the story. So do that work. Everything's great. They take really good care of me. And then I leave. And I had no idea until I got there that it had to do with like Lil Wayne and all these people. I was like, oh, that's what's up. So anyway, but I didn't know when the record was coming out. I'm thinking like, I'm just doing months. This. Yeah, like whatever.
Yeah.
I don't find out till I see Kanye tweet. You know what I'm saying? That the Chains and Wayne record comes out tomorrow. I'm like, oh, thanks.
Oh, wow.
Thanks, Mr. West. So, so anyway, I see that, but, what I was leading to is that I was on the road and, what's crazy is like, Friday night, actually just past Friday, an artist by the name of Bankroll Fresh was killed outside of the studio that I was at like days before, like a couple of days before.
Oh, wow.
Literally Jesus. Like 50 casings were found on the scene. Like it's a really bad situation. He was killed. You know, rest in peace and everything for his family. And he was one of Chain's artists signed to Street Exec or signed to his label and everything like that. So just a very weird and interesting kind of sobering reality. You know what I mean? To come out of all that because while we are in different circles, it's still all hip hop. It's still all the same community. And so, yeah, really kind of crazy. So,
well, we're going to kind of talk about that a little bit in the sense of kind of guys running in different lanes, but ultimately connected at the hip, whether they like it or not. And I speak of the one Kendrick Lamar and Macklemore. It seems that they are forever in the conversation together. Probably better suiting Macklemore than Kendrick in that conversation. But let's talk about it. Both of the guys have recently dropped albums, and we're going to talk about both of them to some extent. But Adon, the resident music expert.
I don't know about expert, but I got opinions.
Hey,
I got opinions.
Smarter than me.
Hey, I'll take it.
Let's jump into Kendrick's album, Untitled.
Untitled Unmastered.
Yeah. Untitled Unmastered. Yeah. This it showed up out of nowhere. Well, kind of out of nowhere, but I mean, really, you know, after the Grammy performance that he put on, which we talked about here,
we did.
Yeah, it was crazy good, and you know, the good Sir King James, LeBron James, tweeted Top Dog from TDE and was just like, "Hey, man, you got to let these unreleased songs, you got to let them out." You know what I mean? And he replied to that saying like, oh, okay. I mean, when he speaks, I gotta, you know, do something. So I think they've since talked about the fact that they had already planned to put something like that out, but they didn't plan on doing it this soon or whatever. So yeah, so they put the record out and yeah, it's a very interesting listen, you know, and I think all of us were kind of talking internally, like we can see, and you know, you guys can correct me. We can see why they didn't, in their current form, make like the final project, you know what I'm saying? Like the way they are constituted on this record. But even like, to me, what's fascinating is even seeing kind of rough demos and the way he thinks and the way he approaches songs is super fascinating. And so there's some, like, I even like listening to some of the songs and thinking, you know, how they would be, you know, when he went through the editing and went through the building up process of making them more polished. But there's an amazing quality to them even in their raw form. So yeah, there's some interesting songs there. So
yeah. I bought it like immediately.
Yeah.
Things like I was like, oh, is this real? This is not a drill. And I bought it immediately. And honestly, it was This is how dope to me that the performance, what I saw, I bought it strictly off of that Colbert performance.
Bruh,
and that track that he, that was like when I got to Pimp Butterfly, I was like, you didn't put that on there?
Right.
So I was like, I know it has to be on this thing. I bought it strictly off that, because I mean, obviously I'm a fan, but I knew that had to be on there. So I bought it immediately.
Right.
And yeah, like you said, it's one of those things you could tell, even though some of them are like, this could have made the Pimp Butterfly. Oh, yeah. Like at least, I know that CeeLo track, I feel like that fit.
Mm-hmm.
Like that just like, it's like the sound of like that fit.
Yeah.
And then the Colbert, you know, the one I saw, like those, I feel like it would have fit.
Yeah.
I don't know why, like I'm looking at it now, like why didn't they make certain songs, like why didn't that one make?
Yeah, and I think it's interesting. I think because Punch from TDE, who was the only other, well, no, not the only other rapper, him and J-Rock are actually featured on the song, on the album, but he talked about how the fact that the Colbert song, I think it's Untitled 3, mm-hmm. and another one, those were the two that were like seriously in the running to make the final version of To Pimp a Butterfly. Yeah. There was a lot of conversations they had to go through to like take it off in the end and just its feel, you know, and what whatever. But yeah, there's a lot of really good things. I do think what's also, and I definitely want to get your opinion on this too, Dan, but I do think what's genius about the work is that, one, how do you follow up To Pimp a Butterfly? Like, period, right? Like, mm-hmm. it's this opus work that, like, has gotten all this praise and yada, yada, yada. And to me, like, what's kind of awesome about the approach of doing it this way is that you kind of have to grade all of the album on this weird curve because you're listening to it and you're like, man, this isn't exactly what you know Kendrick wanted to do mm-hmm. as a final verdict of but there's still all this amazing, interesting things that are happening on the songs. So it's kind of like you get the credit without necessarily getting the criticism that could come from something that you're like, it's not going to be as good as, to people. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a weird way to cut the baby in half, in my opinion, that like really works well. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I couldn't say that better. Like, listening to it, I mean, it's cool, but what's kind of mesmerizing to me is just the ability and market power to put out something completely unmastered and still clear triple or six digit album sales off of something that, you know, like, so just to put it in perspective, 2 Chainz and Lil Wayne drops their album, and the predictions are between 35,000 and 45,000 albums.
Yeah.
Versus this Untitled Unmastered, 140,000 to 150,000 albums.
Without announcement.
Yeah. Right?
Like, that's the other thing, because it's always that excitement of, like, you know, if you happen to be up Thursday at midnight or whatever, mm-hmm. and you just are on Twitter and you're like, wait, Kendrick, like, you see these things and like everybody's spreading like wildfire. And I'm someone who I have to listen to music on my own terms. So I can get it at that hour. But if I'm not awake, I'm like, or if I'm not like up, like I just like, well, I want to hear it in my best state. So I'll wait till the morning. But like, you go and you can see people as they go through the record and like, they're like, oh my God, track the Colbert song's on here. Yeah, like people tweeting like that. So it's super interesting. But yeah, there's always that argument about, like, you know, the surprise release thing, right? That Beyonce's done mm-hmm. and that just artists have done at this point. And it's one of those things where, like, you could get lulled into this false sense of thinking, that's great, I'll do it. No. You do. They built up their fan base already to this point, which is why you can be what, 3-4 days into, you know, since the album dropped, and mm-hmm. be projected to sell over, you know,
right. Those artists create a sense of anticipation that
absolutely.
And I think I can't speak as much for Beyonce because I'm just not as familiar with her body of work, but I know with Kendrick, there's a certain, like, a connection he has with his fans.
Totally.
There's something same to be said Beyonce. About an it's the same as Beyonce, but there's something to be said about an artist just not trying to be seen.
You
kind of have that, like, effect, like, anything he drops, it must have been something of, you know, of something of value, like, we need to have our hands on that immediately, because he's not doing, like, these press runs and stuff like that. It's just like, here y'all go. Like, I got this thing for you. I think my only gripe with it is, because I know it's Untitled or Master, I'm just like, man, you could just made it a mixtape. I didn't have to pay. I didn't pay, whatever I paid for it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, get that to the people. You ain't hurting for no, you know what I mean? You ain't hurting for no, like, could have dropped that on live mixtapes or whatever you wanted to.
Like, yeah, I'm also, but I'm also like, man, you know, I feel you, but I don't know. You got the product, man. We want it anyway.
Yeah.
So it's like, why not sell it?
Yeah, I guess I don't know. I look at and this is, I don't want to get too off topic, but it kind of reminds me of the fact that like Chance the Rapper has no. Like, he's been on SNL.
Absolutely.
You have not had to buy an album from him.
You have not.
You know what I mean?
And I think that's the thing, though, that's interesting, right, is because there are these very, and this is not to say that, and I can't speak to the mentality of what TDE or Kendrick are thinking or whatever, but I will say, like, you know, one of the early, before they signed Isaiah Rashad, before they signed SZA, Chance was the other artist that TDE was trying to sign or whatever, and they were never able to make that happen. I think even some of that, to some degree, is like Chance has this different perspective on what he wants to do as an artist, and you know, yeah, just all of that. So I even think something even as small, big, however you view it, of, you know, am I going to put this out for free or am I not going to put this out? Like,
right.
I think even that figures into just maybe differences of approaches and whatever would happen.
Well, I think it too, it goes to your identity as an artist. I think Chance, man, he is as multi personality in his music and as an artist. And he's like, look, I'm never going to be one thing to all people. And so here, take it. I'm actually going to go be an actor for the next 6 months.
Yeah.
And you're not going to hear from me. And then I'm going to tour. And then I'm going to drop a mix. And, you know, it's, I don't think he really wants to be a Kendrick where it's just like drop what is an unmastered album. And do crazy numbers.
The other thing I would note too is that Chance is still unsigned.
Exactly.
Kendrick is signed to Interscope. Yeah. Like, so there's still a very big machine, a lot of yellow, red tape to get through, you know. So there's just different hoops that both that one artist has to go through and another one doesn't. Even someone with this, you know, growing leverage and power that Kendrick has. So but yeah, man, all in all, I'm really happy with the project, and it's something to me that, like, is just you know, it's just good to have out there a lot of new material, and you can, and I really want him to take a break, honestly. I won't kid you. I just want him to, like, not think about music or anything for a while, go live life.
I'm afraid.
You're afraid.
Only because when people drop dope stuff like that, and then they take that break, they like, I can't, they like, should I come back?
The step.
That's they don't. I'm like, nah, I just kind of, because then what do I
have?
They
turn into Kanye?
No, they don't turn. They turn into Andre. And then they don't come back. That's what I'm afraid of.
I got you.
Yeah, I'm afraid of him being like, nah, I just want to, like, I have a kid. I'm going to have a kid. I'm just going to be a dad. And,
yeah,
you know,
he's about to get married.
I got these artists you can, you know, I'll guest star on this movie. Right. Like, no, man.
Right.
Kill it. We need you. Yeah.
Kill it, like, on that one guest appearance, and then you don't see him.
Yeah, like, don't frustrate me that way.
And you find him, and you're like, man, I've just been, you know, have these alpacas that I've been working with for the last 6 months.
Yeah, like, weird. Oh. Yeah, like, oh, man, we need you. Yeah.
I got you.
So, Adon, when Kendrick's album dropped, I like started playing it because I actually found out through Fourth District's Twitter. I woke up to like notification after notification, like, what? It's like 7 a.m.
Right.
And we have like 20. What happened last night?
Right.
So I went over to Spotify and checked out the album. But I immediately, so it kind of broke the cardinal rule of like listening from 1 through 8. I started listening via chronological. So because he dated every song of when he wrote it. And I actually really enjoyed like going back and listening chronologically.
Gotcha.
And obviously he didn't put it in that order for a reason, and that was his artistic decision. But you know, it's my decision to how do I want to listen to
Absolutely.
It. So, but it was, I mean, from that way of listening, I mean, again, unmastered for sure, but you still get Kendrick.
Used to.
And in no way do you feel like you get the Diet Coke version.
Yeah.
Dude can just rap.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he can rap, and he uses, other rappers do this too, but I like Kendrick understands his voice is an instrument, like, for real. And so I think that there's things that he does tonally and with his like inflections, as well as like as well as just melody that I think you're like, man, he's a band leader. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like vocally, he's a band leader mm-hmm. as a rapper. And that's not something that you always see and hear. So yeah,
when you say that, would you say that Eminem did that similarly in the sense of changing his tone and cadence and using it in various ways throughout the song? Or are you saying something completely different?
I think that all rappers, voices are instruments. So that's my general statement, sure. right? So it's not even a question of like only the great rappers use their voice as an instrument. I think all rappers do. And so even along those lines, I think someone like Future uses his voice definitely like an instrument.
You can't understand his instrument, but
it's amazing, right? It's like in terms of how he approaches it, you're like, golly. So
the oboe.
Yeah, really. But with someone like Eminem, I think that he definitely does, but why I liken Kendrick to the band leader part of it is that one, Kendrick is in the most explicit terms, he's working with a live band, right? So he's in that studio with Terrace Martin on on sax, and with Thundercat on bass, and with Bilal, who uses his own voice, singing voice as an instrument. And like, whereas with Eminem, you know, he'll have dark synthy production that mm-hmm. or light production or whatever, but it's all synth based largely with Dre or him, his own production himself. And just the way that he goes about it, it's he uses his voice as an instrument. But I think what Kendrick does is he's part of these other instruments in a way that I just don't think we see
cool
often. So cool. Yeah,
sweet. Any last thoughts when it comes to the album? Anything that stood out to you the most, just in specific songs or just in general? You just enjoyed it.
I'm still absorbing it, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say currently, like in my head as we're talking, is the anytime he's on a track is like CeeLo. When you just like that made me like I felt like somebody's uncle, you know, just like you hear a song you want to dance like two step to, like that's what that song did to me. Like it's still in my head. But I think that's just the CeeLo's voice just kind of like gets stuck up in there. But,
yeah, man, it's really weird, man, with CeeLo because I feel like I don't know if this is insensitive or what, but I always feel like he has such an amazing voice. Like his voice, it's always been incredible. Mm-hmm. It's always been amazing. Such an amazing voice. But he said and did such terrible things around that whole, I think it was Molly that he slipped the drink for. Like rape trial, all this stuff like that. And you're kind of like, man, I want him to get over whatever the stigma part of it is because... Right. He's such an amazing artist, but at the same time, I'm like, yeah, that was really bad.
You did
bad.
Those things, man.
It was really
like,
bad.
Yeah, you did so, those things. Yeah.
I don't know. So, yeah, but man, he's incredible, man.
Yeah.
Incredible.
All right, so he's like Diet Coke Bill Cosby. Okay. So the other artist that we mentioned earlier, Macklemore, this unruly mess I've made.
Yes.
That he's made, not me. I don't have the white guilt that he seems to have.
I got you. Real quick, have you listened to it, David?
White Privilege?
the entire album, Macklemore, have you heard that at all?
Which one? Because the answer is no to both. No.
Is that just a, you know, I know I'm not going to like it thing?
Not even. I literally today I was sitting and then I happened to catch like a music video just for the channels and it was Macklemore and I think, what's the dude, Leon Bridges?
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, this is the Macklemore formula where it's like you start off in the track, like your opening single is something random and weird. So first it was, Thrift Shop, and then this
Downtown.
Album, Downtown. Then you kind of get serious. All the while, you'll always have a black dude singing the hook. Like, he has, it's a very, like, very smart formula that he has. He's like, I hope nobody catches me, but I'm like, I'm on you, Macklemore. So it's not even that I don't like the songs.
Yeah.
It's just like, every time I'm hearing it, I'm like, it just feels so manufactured.
Okay.
It feels so manufactured. And I think that's a tough hurdle for... I feel like that's gonna be a tough hurdle for any white rapper.
Okay.
To not feel like it's manufactured, but it has been done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Eminem does not feel manufactured.
But Eminem definitely has a formula.
Oh, totally.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Like when you would see the zany, quirky first songs that he would do, you know, whether that was, you know, How My Name Is, or whether that was Without Me or The Real Slim Shady. Like, all of these songs were the same type of songs. And then he, you know, and it'd be, you know, crazy videos or whatever. Then he would follow up with, you know what I'm saying, something like with more substance to it or whatever. But
yeah, but I think, okay, so to kind of parallel that, with Eminem, like, his, there was a thing like, oh, he hates his mom, or he hates his, you see what I'm saying? There was like a, you kind of knew a story about him.
He knew his angle.
And Macklemore is like, his thing is like, I'm, and from what I've seen, again, I don't have the greatest knowledge, but it's like him observing things because he kind of has to.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, instead of being like what's, I don't know his, I don't, it doesn't, I don't feel like it permeates through the songs that he puts out.
I got you. He has his, I think he has an expressed angle of like a recovering addict.
No, I know this, but I'm saying in the singles that he puts out, how prevalent is that? Because the singles that Eminem put out, you were like, there goes the mama problems, there goes, you know what I mean? Like, you, it was much more clear.
And I think Eminem across the board, and I mean, if this is your first time listening, I am an Eminem fanboy, but across the board, Eminem consistently critiqued society, whether it was a funny song or whether it was a serious song. It wasn't like, I'm going to take this one off and I'm going to entertain you.
Okay.
There was always a layer of, he was critiquing, you know, somebody, making fun of somebody in the funny songs, and then in the serious songs, typically critiquing himself. But again, I think there is similarities. Let's not front that there's not this level of white introspection that comes with being on top of a traditionally African American style of music.
Sure.
So speaking to that, and we'll jump into, I'll give you my opinions of the album in a second, but do you think that Macklemore, because the biggest critique, the general thought is, you either fall in line and say, hey, I think it's really cool that Macklemore is able to speak on issues. It's good that he's able to speak to the addiction issues and the white privileges and have these perspectives that is raising awareness. Or you say, this is contrived and I just don't buy it because it's so formulaic. And I'm done. So at the end of the day, do you think it's wrong that he is so introspective? And is there really a way out of that as a white rapper?
I have this thought. I had this thought recently today, and it's just in the latest. I think he is introspective. I think I'm looking at the depths of that introspect. That's what I'm looking at. And I had this thought today, and I apply a lot of things to comedy. Gotcha. But like, I watch a lot of white, call it white dude comedy now, and it's a lot of very like, just like absurdist kind of view on a lot of things.
Okay.
And I look at it, I'm like, some of it's funny, but I'm often like, just in conversation I have with like young white dudes, and I feel like there is this struggle to own a culture. Like, you feel like it's not worthy of a story. And I'm like, you kind of need that. Like, I've definitely had enough conversations with my dudes, and it's like, nah, my story's not good. I was like, no, like, there's something about the culture that doesn't have, and that's weird that I'm riding for white dudes to tell their story. But
I feel you.
But I do feel that in a way that there's this, like, the culture is like, your story's not good enough.
Interesting.
And so with an Eminem, it was like, here it is. Like, it was very, like, this is the story. Like, it wasn't a shame in the story. Where, like, you hear, like, I think now, like, with even like a Macklemore, the depths of the introspection, I'm like, you could do more, but it feels like maybe it's not good enough, you know?
Huh.
It's kind of the only, I guess, the best way to bring it back home to rap is kind of like, if I could, my one Christian hip hop reference is the truth. I didn't have a horror story.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's kind of like that. You know what I mean? Where it's like,
but my testimony is less than phony.
Yeah, like, it's like, but no, give it though.
I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah, I am riding for white dudes. Black History Month's over, guys.
What you thinking of, Don?
No, I mean, I'll probably have to sit with that, what you're saying over there, David. I think that, like, I don't know, with Macklemore, I don't find an issue, or I don't think that it's a lack of introspection for him on my part. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's possible he suffers too much from it in some ways. I think Macklemore has this thing of doing like the big message songs about whatever, and like, and there's these parts of it where some of them are really affecting, some of them are super strong, or at least a impactful as I hear them, but other time, but I'm not always, but then the other ones I'm not always moved by. But he also has this super zany side that I loathe. Like, I really am not here for so any of those.
That's
parts.
One thing that he's 100% adopted from Eminem is he has a character that he has, like, his normal character, mm-hmm. himself, and then he has that zany. He puts the wig on and the cape and
it's a David Bowie,
yes,
labyrinth,
exactly.
Thought like kind of art, you know, kind of other side of him that he has, and he's gone back to, like, I think the Untitled mixtape, he's had these types of songs. So there's really horrible examples of that on this project where I'm like, golly, I cannot stand to listen to songs like Brad Pitt's Cousin or Dance Off.
I'm glad you told me these existed to further solidify why I will not listen.
These are really bad songs on the, in my opinion, really bad songs. Mm-hmm. They're not for me. And I mean, you know, Idris Elba is on Dance Off with Anderson Paak. You know what I'm saying? How do you get Anderson Paak doing something bad in 2016 when that dude has been on fire?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so there's these sides of it where I'm like, oh, those are really, really bad. But then he has these other moments of earnestness that I think are strong. And honestly, by the time you get to White Privilege at the end, after listening to the rest of it, I was like, man, you know what? White Privilege ain't that bad. Ain't that bad comparatively to some of the bad parts of it. But honestly, I rocked with like maybe four. I don't know how many songs are on it, like 12, something
13.
Like that, 13. I rocked with maybe four or five of them, like, pretty good. I'll tell you, Chance is on a tear of destroying every guest appearance that he's on, because he kills this one too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's there's parts of it that I really, really do. That I really mess with, but the introspection piece of it, I just think that he has these things. Like, he has this song. So the first song that came out wasn't Downtown from the album. Mm-mm. It was The Growing Up featuring Ed Sheeran. Mm. And
who features on everyone's albums, apparently.
Yes. And so there he goes. He's got a white guy, right?
Okay.
All right. What's interesting, though, is that so there was an interview that he did with that Macklemore did with John Caramonica or whatever. And they asked about artists who turned down, you know, any artists you reach out to, were they unable to, you know, were you not able to get them? Because, dude, he got everybody on. He got KRS-One and DJ Premier on songs.
Which I want to talk about that song.
He got YG. He got all these people, right?
Wow.
But what's interesting is he was like, yeah, you know, most people we got were good. He said Adele graciously turned us down for Growing Up. She was supposed to be on there. And my boy Mike Seaton, he was like, man, you know, Adele was too black. Because there's a lot of Adele was like, you know what? Nah,
not a good look.
But,
not a good look.
But yeah, man, it's interesting. It's interesting. What were you gonna say though about the song Buckshot? Yeah, with KRS and Premier.
Yeah, no, I was curious. I listened to that song, and again, so my evolution of hip hop began 2002. 2003
okay.
Is when I first started kind of really digging in hip hop. So as far as like truly, you know, understanding the evolution and appreciating like KRS-One,
mm-hmm.
to me, this sounds like a genuine effort to kind of be a like ode to like boom bap hip hop.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that? Or do you feel like it, again, this was an effort in that direction, but it's a contrived effort to get an OG like KRS-One on a song in that style?
So I feel like my personal read on it is that I think the beat is crazy because I'm a fan of that era of production. The beat is insane to me. But I'll say that I felt like that part of that really is Macklemore. And as a full disclosure, let me say, I have really good friends who are really close with, or who know Macklemore really well, and they've known him for years. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times when that obviously has colored a bit of my perspective with him, because I see what is said about him, and then I'm like, but I have really close people who can vouch for the type of person he actually is. So there's that. But I'll say that I really do think he really has come up in that era of owning that in Seattle hip hop and whatever, has that. That being said, the and shout out to Clock Radio Speakers and Doc and Armand who talked through the record as well too. It really is one of those things where he does the adoption of this other element of hip hop, the graffiti art part. That's the part where you're like, really, Macklemore? Like, so you did graffiti too? Like, like you did that part? Like, really? And even if you did, you had to write a song about doing graffiti? Like,
sounded like a homework project. Yeah. It's like, now go home and what come back and what do you know?
What are the four elements of hip-hop? Okay, yeah. All right. Did you know how to up-rock too? You know, breakdancing as well? So it's just like, so that's the part of it where I'm like, whatever. I do always feel like KRS-One has a voice that was made to rap. Like that dude, I don't know how old, KRS-One's got to be maybe, he's got to be over 50 at this point, 50 something. Like he always sounds like a teacher, like literally saying like he's there to rap. So yeah, man, I don't know. Those are my thoughts on Buckshot, but yeah.
Cool. I just in general, I think my opinion of this album is colored by, I feel like a lot of people jumped on Macklemore during the heist, during Thrift Shop, and I don't feel like people have done their homework in general.
Absolutely.
When it comes to Macklemore, even the unplanned mixtape or whatever it's called, like there's you get a sense of there's not this white guilt at some, like it that happened at some point in time, and I don't know if it was when he won the Grammy over Kendrick and he had this moment of like, the dude who really won this or didn't win it because I'm white and I'm more popular with the mainstream culture.
Right.
I don't know where it happened, but I do know that it existed. And so I do know that there's a genuine level of unhappiness about his success that he has and has to carry now.
Like awareness.
And I hate that for him. Like I hate that for any artist that fights through, I mean, and he documents it well, the level of addiction, the level of struggle that he's had to go through, and then to get to the top of the mountain and a majority of critics and people say, you didn't earn this.
Right.
And then to have to make the decision, okay, either I'm going to give you the middle finger, I am an M and say, you have no idea what I've been through. So you can't say anything, or to try to say, okay, there might be a piece of this that is true. I want to then now use this platform to affect some change. And so,
what's interesting, and I don't want to draw this out, but I will say some of what we talk about with the Eminem comparison, I think is, I don't want to say revisionist, but it is something where I think we have to look at it in light of a certain thing, right? One of the things that I think is one of the things that I applaud about Macklemore is that he is an independent artist, right? Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, they are independent. And the amount of work they did on the road to build up their fan base is crazy. Mm-hmm. It's nuts. And, in full disclosure, I didn't realize, like, when he dropped the Versus EP in like 2008, 2009, I was like, oh man, I really dig this. And then going to the show and seeing like, oh man, I'm the only black person here. It is filled with like frat rock, like frat kids. Like I'm
pop,
just like,
pop,
yeah,
pop.
It's very weird. But he still just, he built up his fan base, right? So he does this and puts out the heist. Mind you, to no like mainstream fanfare. Mm-hmm. It just so happens that the Thrift Shop picks up, whatever. I'm saying all this to say that part of what Eminem benefited from is because you have Dr. Dre as your rabbi. You come in with someone whose street credentials are
overflow to you.
Yeah, like you have a level of coverage over you that where if Dre is saying of NWA is saying like of providing Snoop and Death Row to everyone.
Yeah.
He's the one saying this is the guy, right? So there's this level of coverage that honestly a lot of black people were like, I don't really, they were not messing with Eminem really early. Like we were just like, this is whatever.
Yeah.
But he immediately got an MTV slot off of, Hi My Name Is and all of this stuff popped off with him there. But even throughout that first record, on a pop, on a level of people outside of Detroit and outside of, like, he messed with the Outsiders up in Jersey and stuff like that. Like, outside of those people, we weren't largely in mass like, oh man, Eminem is great. You know what I'm saying? All of this.
Right.
Dre provided enough of this, like, street bona fides and coverage. And then we can look at, we can look at Eminem with a, like, if we wanted to, right, we could look at Eminem with the same level of cynicism. We don't, but I, and I don't think we should. But so we could criticize Macklemore because he answers to no one. He puts on KRS-One and Premier on their, on his album, or Grandmaster Flash and all of them on the, or you know, Grandmaster Kaz, Melly Mel, all them out. So we can kind of be like, man, whatever, he's just doing this to do this or whatever. But who's the, why do we think that Eminem signing 50 Cent isn't like saying like, hey, I care about black people. I want, like, we don't say that.
We don't.
And I don't think we should.
Right, right, right.
But I'm just saying that he, you know, him grabbing D12 and saying like, hey, like, these are my boys. Like, I want everyone on there. Like, he.
But those.
Oh, Eminem. Let me finish this. Eminem, outside of Yellow Wolf, much now in this second iteration of Shady Records, you never saw Eminem beefed with every other white artist that ever was coming close around. He, you know, whether it was Cage out of Ohio, or not out of Ohio, Copyright out of Ohio, whether it was Cage, he would, it's one of those things that he always constantly was like building up black support around him or whatever. I'm not saying that that should be met with skepticism, but I'm saying that we view one way and we view another one a different way.
Yeah.
And we just say, and if you really get down to the grits, like the bone parts of it, like, people from Detroit will attest to the fact that Eminem was not that part of Detroit. Like, he wasn't that part of Detroit. He traveled to that part of Detroit, but he, like, in terms of being reared up in that, that wasn't him. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. But it's a very interesting thing.
To the Detroit point, I was going to say, yeah, he had the Dre thing. Just something about hearing something from Detroit and then hearing something from Seattle. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that, just
understand. Is that regional bias, though? Is that 100% regional bias?
Who else out of Seattle came out other than Sir Mix-a-Lot?
That's what I'm saying. Like, just Macklemore had, like, if I hear anything out of hip hop culture is coming out of Seattle, I'm like, I don't know.
Right, right.
It don't matter Portlandia, if he's black, white,
you think
whatever.
Portlandia,
yeah, I think Portlandia.
Think,
I think yeah. Coffee. I think I don't think hip hop.
Right.
I don't think any element of hip. I don't think of any of, like, of any. I think of a Space Needle.
Yes.
And King Griffey Jr. Like, I don't think
what she rapped about.
Right, but like, if you say Detroit, you're like, oh, okay. Like, there's something that could provide a narrative of hip hop that I would appreciate.
Right, right, right.
You see what I'm saying? So, absolutely. Like, he had, well, yes, he had the Dre piece and all of that, but it's like, there's an undeniable struggle of any, and you might not even been Detroit.
Right.
But even if you're not in Detroit, just from having family there, you're in Detroit for the most part where he's at, you know?
Yeah, it's just, I just think Eminem sold it better.
Yeah.
And but that's not to say that what Macklemore is selling is false. It's just we're just choosing to look at one as less authentic for whatever reason. We're choosing to do that. And the other one, and let's be clear, like, Eminem has earned this. Like, I'm not, none of this is a question of skill, talent, or like putting in the work. I think Macklemore has put in the work. I think Eminem is, and that you could get to both of that and still be like, I prefer Eminem over Macklemore. Like, I get that completely.
Sure,
like, completely. I agree in that way. But I do think it's just kind of an interesting, like, scale and track where you're just, where Eminem has benefited in ways that we don't always figure into our calculation about why we think that Eminem is what he is.
Well, and it's acceptable in, you know, in these more hip hop head conversations for someone, especially of my complexion, to say, I rock with Eminem. But you need to distance yourself from Macklemore, because if you say that you rock with Macklemore, you've just disqualified yourself from the conversation. I've apparently disqualified myself from these conversations at times for saying that I rock with Macklemore.
Not for me, Dan, but I know what you're saying.
But that's the reality of popular opinion is you are a culture vulture if you are rocking with Macklemore and you're okay with not separating yourself or distancing yourself. So, and I don't say that because, again, on a whole, is this unruly mess I've made To Pimp a Butterfly or anything remotely close? No.
No, it's not. Objectively, it's not that great of an album.
It's not that great. But again, there are moments here that I still remember the Macklemore that I really rocked with through mixtapes and stuff like that. And I've said this on the record before that I think that Ryan Lewis was the greatest thing and the worst thing never happened to Macklemore in the sense that Ryan Lewis brought live instrumentation that I had never experienced. And now that's not to say that I have a limited scope in what I know to be true, but live instrumentation in hip hop that I hadn't really experienced up until that point. And so Amazing, I think, brought a taste and a flavor to mainstream hip hop that I hadn't heard. But at the same time, I think being locked with one producer and not being able to, and kind of building this brand together, I think has locked them into this strategy of, you know, funny song and then song about addiction and then, you know, with some dope features and then kind of this like conclusion song that kind of brings everything home. So, yeah. The last thought I have, is really, I want to talk about, the music video. And I think ultimately that's what this, what we've left out of this conversation is the reason Macklemore has become who he is because he made amazing videos.
Yeah.
And that's, again, colors my view of Macklemore because as a filmmaker, the dude has not only put the time in musically, but Ryan Lewis, to his credit, and again, another thing to say that Ryan Lewis is the greatest thing that ever happened to Macklemore, directs all of his music videos, and they are all amazing videos that have created a brand around Macklemore that seems to be, say, that he is part of a big label with lots of money.
Yeah.
And in reality, it's a lot of relationships and a lot of favors, and just speaks very highly of Ryan Lewis and his relationships.
Yeah, I think he started out as his, like, he just was someone who took photos.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, then Macklemore found out that he did this production as well. And, yeah, all this came out
of
that.
So the first music video that Ryan Lewis ever did is actually, you know, blew my mind. It's still pictures. It's like, it's a stop motion music video of still pictures before that was even the trendy cool thing to do when DSLRs first came out, and that was like the revolution in music videos. And so I'll stop geeking out on the filmmaking side of it. But Kevin was the kind of the big video for this album, and it featured Leon Bridges, which I have to say that Leon Bridges might be the shining light on this album. And I think he's just on a roll that, you know, very few other artists are on right now. But man, that song, I enjoy that song. And again, it's very much in the same vein as Other Side, and not nearly the video, but still a very quality video visually. Something I very much enjoyed. So at the end of the day, we'd love to hear y'all's thoughts on Untitled, Unmastered, and this unruly mess I've made.
Yeah, holler at me about white dudes and their opinions. I would love to hear what people think. I'm so serious. I had that. That's like a real, I really want to like explore that. That's very, it's just interesting to me.
Yeah,
us white dudes have our opinions.
I know, but I'm saying like an authentic, like not feeling like it's not worthy, and getting like the real thing out. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I just think that's not good artistically for anybody to feel like it's not of value.
You don't have a story to tell.
Yeah, like you have a story to tell. It might be the same story as everybody else, but like that's where you got to dig deep and get into the specific. That's what I was talking about with Macklemore. It's like the more specific he gets, I think any art, the more specific you get to you, the better your art will be.
Yeah, and I think too, I think he is a businessman too, and you can't fault, like one of his songs is about the Mariners and growing up, and it's very detailed in what his life was like growing up and listening to the Mariners and how that was central, and the game or I forget exactly the title of the song, yeah. But
it's a particular ode to the announcer.
Yes.
To the
the Colin and Griffey.
Yeah, because okay. he passed away, and I can't remember the name of the song either.
See, I respect it.
Yeah,
I respect it heavily.
Yeah. Was it the town? Is it the town?
No. That's an ode to Seattle in general. He did that song. I can't remember. I can't remember what it's called. Somebody will hit us up. I'm sure.
But let us know.
All right, well, we are going to do a side B because we just talked about those two albums for side A. Any last thoughts outside of those two albums? What are y'all listening to that we should give some shine to real quick?
What you got?
Music. What is that? I'm in my own world, man.
What Christian rap albums are you listening to?
Man. Zero. I don't even. Yo, for real, people send me stuff to listen to. Somebody sent me. Somebody last time sent me something from the Gemstones.
From Gemstones,
yeah. Gemstones. It was like the first. I forgot what it was. I actually remember like downloading that mixtape.
Gotcha.
And being like, that's all right. You know, send me more stuff because I don't know anything.
I got you.
I know nothing, guys.
Do you listen to comedy albums?
Yeah.
Like, do you listen to those as frequent or more frequent than
more
music?
Frequent than music?
Mm-hmm.
But it is like, so the last comedy album I got, I think was, and I was just watching specials. So I watched the Hannibal one on Netflix.
Okay. How'd you feel about that?
Like I saw it live when he did it here.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, this is good.
Okay.
And then I started watching it, and then the people were like, we didn't like it. And I was like, I don't know. Like,
yeah. I generally like Hannibal, but I only got like 25 minutes in, and I was kind of like, this one isn't working for me.
Yeah. I mean, I felt that way. Here's the thing. I felt that way about the last one. And then when I saw this one live, I was like, oh, okay, he's back. Like, this is, and then I don't know. It's so weird, man. I can't focus. I just know what I know. Like, I know what I do. It's hard. I don't know.
There it is. So I don't know. For me, man, I would say that I put this out on Twitter, and some people responded to me, which I appreciate. I asked if anyone was still listening to The Life of Pablo, Kanye's record, because I know that I'm not, honestly. But I had a few people hit me up and like, yeah, man, every day, or I'm still listening to it, which, you know, God bless. Power to you. Like, I just need people to rap, and when people aren't rapping or not rapping well, it's hard for me to like stay engaged, no matter how good the music is.
I've seen and listened to more vines and cutoffs of the what's that? Father Stretch My Hands.
Yes.
Than I have
Metro
any of the than any song on that whole thing, and I feel real bad because
it's there. But
I'm a fan. But
I will say, but no, for me, man, I've been listening to. You know, and this shouldn't be news to anybody, but y'all should definitely check out Anderson .Paak's Malibu, which came out, I think, late January or something like that. But
3 weeks ago, I think.
Was it only 3 weeks ago?
Maybe it was, man, maybe longer than that now.
Nah, I feel like it was. But nonetheless, man, it's just incredible record. So I've been listening to that. And I'm going to, you know, I'm going to take my time with the Untitled Unmastered, but. Aside from that, man, still been listening to a lot of King. They were just here recently, and check them out. Three amazing singers, three women singers, producers from LA. So their record, and then that's what I got. That's what I got right now. So yeah,
cool, man. For me, shout out to Plato.
Who?
No longer going by a new name, Crumb.
Yeah.
And just put out a new single to celebrate said.
It's beastly too.
Yes it is.
Emily Rose.
We will drop that here at the end of this side so you guys can get a taste of it. But man, I'm excited for that guy, man. He is one of the most slept on, underrated dudes out there.
Yeah, we're gonna get him in for an interview. I was talking with him a few days ago.
Okay,
so
cool.
We're definitely gonna talk through all of that. So,
and then pulling out my hipsterness, William Fitzsimmons just dropped a new song on Friday, and I wanted a beard like him for a long time, so that's what initially turned me on to him. But
it's on the Music Monday, isn't it?
It is.
Y'all should check that out.
It is, and that man. We don't talk a lot about kind of singer songwriter style stuff, but it's close to my heart, so it made on the list.
It's great.
Check it out.
I got hip to him through through Alex, actually.
Oh,
Alex
cool.
Faith hit me to him.
He's
definitely dope.
Super dope. All right. Well, we're gonna flip to side B. We're gonna talk some culture. We're gonna talk some Zoe Saldana.
Saldana. Is it Saldana? You got me thinking it's Saldana. I always say Saldana.
Saldana.
I think I do that.
Okay.
I don't know. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about politics. We're going to talk about a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. So flip it on over. We'll catch you there.
Peace. Wordy with the dirtiest tricks. I'm trying to get bigger. So I'm busting these bricks. Harry Schroeman. Keep it simple and true. Sega Tendo fight combo on an Xbox 2. I said, shimmy, shimmy, yam, shimmy, Yahweh. Texas Law Hawk that's quick on the draw. They can take away the shot. They can have gun control. That's for the flesh and the blood. I'm fighting spirit and soul. I got six quick shots for the love bug. Herbie's hand cocked on a duck hunt. Where my dogs at? They laying low in the bushes. Hanging with the prostitutes, the pimps and the pushers. Y'all ranch and honey mustard stocked up from the drive-thru. Watching out for Bobo, creeping on my side view. Posted at the car wash across from Taco Rico. I was hanging with the lost between the cross and where the steeple meet the East Branch Library after we kick it. I'm rolling dolo trying to check out some tapes and see Dickens. It's a tale of two cities, the worst and it's the best of times. These Charles Spurgeon late fees got me paying out a hefty fine. And a VHS, a Jesus blessing left behind. It's a cold quarter, because I guess I never press rewind. And a long line of customers like that's gonna humble me. I'm deep into the heart of Texas. A-double-G. The stars at night are big and bright like we've been chasing rockets. Haley's Comet got me naming profits off like Davy Crockett. I'm all natural, flows are invaluable. Underground, but there isn't a basement in the Alamo. Large margin charge with a bug out of emoticon. No matter how it starts, he's getting praise before I'm gone. I use your verse as a bookmark on what not to do. Take a stance on these knee-high nerds. Who to sock it to? This pair-up is a mismatch. The world will try to offer you simultaneous thrones, but only one gonna be the boss at you. You thought you'd flying free? Caged up as a cockatoo. The devil threw the book on tape, CD, and whole boombox at you. But it's still working. I guess there's life in it yet. Just wake it up, no more drooling. The whole pillow is wet. Don't sleep unless it's one eye open. Peace to all my people that was walking, awoken. Emily Morgan. Stars are for you. Star yellow for you. They all shine for you. A dirty past feels way too true, Emily. Emily. A dirty past feels way too true.